The title for my homily this evening is The Fruitfulness of Mindful Generosity. The Fruitfulness of Mindful Generosity. The Mass readings this evening invite us to think about these three characteristics, these three qualities of the Christian life. We are to be fruitful. We are to be people whose fruitfulness is an expression of having experienced the generosity of God, of which we are mindful. So fruitfulness, mindfulness, generosity are the three ideas that we're going to think about this evening. So let me begin by talking about the generosity of God. You'll remember in John's Gospel that the first of the miracles Jesus performs is the wedding at Cana, where he takes hundreds of liters of water and turns them into wine, thereby showing that with the incarnation, and remember in John's Gospel it says that the Word was made flesh. Well, what is the first thing that the Word made flesh does when he reveals himself to the world? An act of remarkable generosity, where the best wine of the wedding banquet is given to the people. Here, with the incarnation of Jesus, we see God's extraordinary generosity as the miracle displays. Now, what do you think of wine? It's representative of celebration. And what is more celebratory than a wedding banquet? And of course, John in his gospel, and then in the book of Revelation, which he also wrote, the last book of the Bible, wants us to understand this idea, that the generosity of God that we begin to experience in this life will find fulfillment in heaven. For in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, he talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we have this understanding that here now, as we receive the Eucharist, here now, as we celebrate confirmation, we discover something of our destiny, that we are to celebrate forever in the generosity of God. So it's very telling that in our readings this evening, the theme of a vineyard is at the heart of what we have heard. For the biblical story begins with the good news of God's generosity. In Genesis chapter 1, we hear repeatedly, and God saw that it was good. And then at the end of creation, it declares, and he saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now, with this idea of God's generosity in mind, with the idea of the wedding at Cana, with the idea of God creating a universe that is good, and all you have to do is go for a walk today to see something of the generosity of God in this beautiful creation that we are privileged to inhabit. But now think with me about that reading from Isaiah chapter 5, and hear these words through the interpretive lens of God's generosity. My beloved had a vineyard on very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted in it choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, and it yielded wild grapes. Now, you might have missed it, but this is a love song. This is God's love song. And if you've listened to very many love songs are hurting songs, right? Because there's always that part in the love song where somehow the lover feels that he or she is spurned by the one that they love. And this love song is no different. This is probably the oldest love song ever written. And in this love song, we're told that God, who created this vineyard, he planted it so that the grapes, which represent the people of faith, would be the kind of grapes that would then make the most amazing wine. But rather than yielding good grapes, it yielded wild grapes. What are wild grapes? They're sour. You don't want to eat them, and you perhaps don't want to make wine from them. And so as God grieves the fact that the grapes that he was longing to see produced are wild grapes, his heart grieves because this fertile vineyard that he had created, this vineyard that he had made with generous love, He then pronounces this heart-wrenching judgment. And now I will tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall be pruned. It will not be pruned or hoed, excuse me. And it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Now, this is poetry, and we have to understand it as such. But what the writer is saying to us is this: if we lose sight of God's generosity, if we lose sight of who God really is, then something happens to our lives. They become somehow disorientated. They experience the kind of thing that we see portrayed in this poetic love song. For you see, when we're not mindful of God's generosity, we stop being generous with one another. And so Isaiah ends his poem with these words: "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. The people of Judah are his pleasant planting." There's the generosity of God again, this pleasant planting. But then it goes on to say, "He expected justice, but he saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry." In other words, the way the people were treating one another was with violence, no generosity, vindictiveness, getting even, bloodshed, a cry. Now, as is always the case, the church always joins the Old Testament reading as an anticipation of the gospel. And in today's gospel, Jesus also talks about a vineyard, although he changes the imagery a little bit. He now talks about those who are tenant farmers. This was very common in the first century, that farmers would become tenants of a vineyard, and that the owner of the vineyard would expect at certain times, as part of the pay, a yield of the grapes. So this owner has gone on a long trip to a distant country, and he's left the tenants to care for the vineyard. But then at the time when there is the payment due, he sends slaves. And as Jesus says, the people who are the tenants of the vineyard, they stone some, they kill others, and then they send others, and they do the same. And finally, the owner sends his son. And with the coming of the son, those who are the tenant farmers, they kill the son. But not only do they kill the son, Jesus says in the parable that they take him outside of the vineyard and kill him there. Of course, this is a story of the people of Israel in a particular way. Repeatedly, they were called to be those who were God's tenant farmers, those who were not only to be the grapes, but they were to tend the grapes. And this particular parable is told to the religious leaders, that they have not been attentive to the people of God in the way that they are called to be. And it's so interesting when Jesus says, "So what do you think the owners should do to the tenant farmers?" It's the chief priests and the religious leaders who give the answer. They say, "He'll put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Now, those aren't Jesus' words. Those are the words of the religious leaders. Because when we understand what God actually does, he doesn't put them to death. But when we come to understand more fully what Jesus does by being willing to die the death that's owed to the tenant farmers, we discover something remarkable. That indeed, Jesus does say that I'll have to give the vineyard to others. And what is the vineyard? Well, we could say it is many things, but fundamentally, the vineyard is the Eucharist. For it is in the Eucharist that the wine from the good grapes is produced so that we can be a people who are mindful of God's generosity. How generous is God? That he chooses to become for us bread and wine. That Jesus literally enters into the Eucharistic bread and the Eucharistic wine, and he gives himself to us. And so here's the application of this homily. Throughout the history of the people of God, we have a tendency to forget God's generosity. And when we're not mindful of the generosity of God, we are not generous with others. And if we're not generous, we're not fruitful in the way that God desires us to be. But as we learn the way of generosity, when we are mindful of how Jesus is present in the Eucharist, when we come and take the Eucharist, recognizing who we are receiving and how his generosity is to affect how I am living, then with St. Paul in today's beautiful reading from Philippians, we can understand something, that in the course of our life, each day, we can bring our supplications, that is, our prayers of petition to him. We can bring to him our thanksgiving, and we can make our requests to God, who is a generous God. One of the ways we can do that, particularly during the month of October when we celebrate the Rosary, is to pray the Rosary slowly and intentionally. And as we pray the mysteries of the life of Jesus joined to Our Lady, to bring to God the things that are on our heart. What are the things that are weighing you down? What are the things that are worrying you? What are the things for which you're thankful? And Paul says that as we bring our concerns and our thanksgivings to God, then in turn, we will know something of the very presence of God. But not only that, this then shapes our mind in terms of the things that we then want to think about. As we learn to be more attentive to Jesus in the Eucharist, as we learn to be more attentive to Jesus in prayer, then we'll cultivate a way of mindfulness where when it comes to the choices we make with social media, when it comes to the things with which we fill our mind, we will take to heart what St. Paul says at the conclusion of today's reading. Finally, beloved. Did you hear that? We're called beloved because God is so generous. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What kind of mind is that? That is a generous mind. And when we learn more and more to think of these things, Paul concludes by saying, keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. That's why we need the church, because we can't do this on our own. We need those who can walk with us to embody what it is to live generous lives, as we're mindful of God, so that this week we can live, hopefully, treating others with greater generosity, and so share in God's love more fully, because he desires for you, for me, for Rhiannon, Ella, and Isaiah, to discover with us the fruitfulness that comes when we are mindful of the generosity of God.